Hey, welcome back to the fourth episode of Runners Like Us. I'm Michelle here with my co-host Jason. Together, we bring a place for the everyday runner to share their journey of triumphs and their passion of all things running, plus a look at everyday life. Our guest today is an incredible human and father, plus a runner like us. He ran across the state of New Jersey raising awareness for autism. We're super excited to have him here and hear his story and running journey both across New Jersey and how he got where he is today. Welcome to the pod, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thank you, Chris. Thank you for taking the time out to just, allow us to hear your story, share it with other runners like us. And yeah, man, I've been looking towards this all week. I'm not gonna lie. I've been, what's the word? Giddy. Don't tell nobody, but I've been giddy all week. You know, I'm a big fan of you. I'm probably your biggest fan. So
I appreciate that. Thank you.
yeah. Okay, we'll just jump right in, Michelle.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, let's go ahead and start off with something easy. What is your story as far as running? So, how did you get your start in running?
Go back a little while, like when I was in the Navy, I had to run and I hated it. At least I thought I did. I ran because I had to. Fast forward a couple years ago, my son Coyote is going to be 4 next month. And when I was on paternity leave and like kind of leading up to that, going through nursing school and just like, life in general, I had packed on quite a few pounds and was pretty out of shape and basically just wanted to figure something out because my scrubs were getting tighter and I wasn't looking forward to buying, any bigger sizes. So I always hated running, but I figured maybe I gotta just try something different because, I really wasn't doing much and I've always loved like the outdoors and nature and being in the woods. And I came across like trail running, and kind of saw people going out there, and I'm like, well, I could do that. I love being out in the woods and it doesn't look boring like being on the road. So that's just kind of how I got started, was just wanting to, stop the direction that my life was going in at that point, which was not really good. So,
Yeah. Are
Yeah, I
you from New
gotcha.
Jersey?
Yeah, originally born and raised, I lived here most of my life. I did move out of state to Florida. Very long story, not going to get too into the weeds, but, between parents divorcing and custody and this and that, wound up in Staten Island for a while, then down to Florida, bounced around Florida, was in the Navy, did a lot of traveling. So I think I've had about 32 or 33 legal addresses my entire life. I only know that because when I had to get my clearance to go into a psychiatric facility for nursing school in New York State, it was required to show where you've lived in like the last 20 or 25 years. And they looked at my address list and they were like, yeah, we're not checking all of that. So it was quite a few. But I think Jason might, you might be like kind of similar with, the Army, but
Over 30 is crazy.
yeah.
That's crazy. But
Yeah.
I got a good amount, but not that much. That's a
Yeah.
lot.
So how long were you in the Navy?
6.5 years.
Okay. How long have you been a nurse?
I started as an LPN back in 2011 and then went back to school. Eventually got my RN. That was long drawn out experience, but wound up getting my RN right at the height of COVID is when I graduated. So, I had been an LPN for quite a few years and then, got the RN and jumped right in during the pandemic.
Good for you. Your hours are crazy. 3 days on usually, correct?
Yeah, so my schedule for my full-time job, I work in an adult intensive care unit. We're on a block schedule. So basically, if you start with like a Monday, I'm on for two. So Monday and Tuesday on, Wednesday and Thursday off, Friday through Sunday on. So it's like two on, two off, three on, two off, two on, three off. So it just kind of follows that pattern, which is nice because I know for the entire year what days I have to take off if I want to do an event or go somewhere or if I have, family things going on. But then I also work a per diem at another hospital. So I usually pick up about 2 to 3 shifts a month at that hospital as well.
Is that along the lines of the same thing, or is it a different type of hospital?
It's a different hospital, different environment. I was working at St. Joseph's in Patterson. I was in the intensive care unit there, one of the medical ICUs for a little over a year and a half. And it just, it was a lot having the two ICU jobs and just a little too much stress to the point where I kind of felt like, I shouldn't be stressing so much and working. I don't want to say hard, but just having such a stressful day on a day, what should be a day off, but I'm picking up extra shifts to help out. The per diem should be a little more of a cushy job. So I actually work in a same day surgery unit. It's like they call it phase four. So basically, after people go in for endoscopy or breast reductions or pain injections, basically your outpatient procedures, they'll come to us after going either come straight for us from endoscopy or the pain suites, or they'll come from us to us from PACU, and then we'll just make sure they're ready to go home, get everything situated, and when they're stable, we discharge them. So it's very fast-paced, but it's nowhere near as stressful as working in the ICU. So
So when do you find time to run then?
Jason knows. I'm like 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, that's the hard part, is like kind of juggling that family work balance, I guess, because after I work a 12-hour shift in the hospital, the last thing I want to do is run when I get home. And then at the same time, when I leave, my family's asleep. When I get home, I've been gone for the whole day, most of the evening. It'd be kind of selfish of me to say, all right, I've been gone for 12 hours. I haven't seen you guys, but I'm going to go out for an hour or two and run. Maybe people do that. I can't, just because it's just, I want to spend time with my kids and my wife. So in order for me to kind of stay on track and not lose, I guess, any progression that I've made, or get to a point where I'm really struggling when I go for a long run, I have to find the time to get up early in the morning and go for a little run, even if it's a 5K, which most of my runs lately have been like 5 to 10K. I haven't really been pushing it as far as distance goes, but I find when I do that and I stay more consistent, when I do go for longer runs, my legs don't scream as much, or it's not as strenuous or difficult or whatnot, just because I'm constantly keeping myself moving.
So you mentioned the long runs, of course, finding time to run. Talk to us about your run for autism, like the support for autism. Like, how did that come about? The training for it, what your mindset was, how you feeling about it. Just to walk us through that.
So my daughter has autism. She's been going to the Forum School in Waldwick, New Jersey for a couple of years, and it's been a blessing for her. She went from absolutely hating school and crying every morning when she would have to go. And we won't get too far into the weeds. There was a lot of things going on at the school that were just not kosher. There was issues. We knew that it wasn't an appropriate setting for her. It took a long time to fight to get her into where she is. Been night and day. The genuine joy and compassion and love that these people have for the work they do and the children they work with, it speaks volumes. And she absolutely loves going to school. She's thriving. She still has a long way to go, but she's made so much progress because of this place directly. It's a nonprofit school. The districts do pay the school for the children to go there. It's a whole lot with, like, I guess how they work that out, and I don't know exactly how they do it, but a lot of the things that they do there, they have to raise funding for in order to provide certain activities, certain social groups and things that they do, or programs within the school. They heavily rely on funding. So they do fundraisers every year. Like, the big one is like a tricky tray. They weren't going to do it this year because the woman who normally runs that and facilitates the majority of that event, her two children both go to the school and they're phasing out. So they're graduating. So there's a lot of things on her plate that's going on. I just had like this burning desire. Like, my wife and I talked about it multiple times. I wish I just had like a couple grand that I could just part with and just throw at the school. But it's expensive having kids and everything, so it's kind of tough sometimes, like what you can give. I said to myself, I want to give back in whatever way I can. And I said, well, God's given me this ability to not only walk but to run. And I may not be the fastest, I may not be the most talented or the skinniest or whatever you want to, say. But at the end of the day, I know I got a heart for these kids, and I know that I can push through some difficult situations. So I said, you know what? Let me try and give back in my own way. And I said, I want to do something challenging. I want to do something that, will get attention. Also, something that I can kind of directly compare to life with a child with autism, that people may resonate with, and then at the same time, something people can follow along with. And I mean, the people who live in Jersey, they know how long the state is, and I thought it would be kind of neat to do that.
That's amazing. How long was it?
208 miles.
Okay.
Yeah,
How long did
from
it
the
take you?
it was about 4.5-ish days. I started just after 7 a.m. on Thursday, April 10th, and I finished at 2:41, 2:42 in the afternoon on Monday. I made it to the monument. It was
That's
actually
crazy.
slower than I was hoping it was going to take, but I ran into some hiccups, which just kind of
Yeah.
made the event that much more memorable and challenging, I guess.
What were those?
Well, number one, one of my best friends, Renee, was supposed to run with me the entire way. That's what we had planned. It was a challenge for both of us, not only to do the length, but to do it together. We've been doing ultra marathons for a long time. Like, we've known each other quite a few years, and she's a really talented runner. You know, she did run into some problems along the way. Long story short, she left on an ambulance about 50 miles in, and
Oh
she
man.
found out that she was actually in real bad rhabdomyolysis that really took a toll on her. And she struggled with that whole event afterwards. And my biggest takeaway for her was there's a big difference between somebody saying, you know what, it's getting tough, I don't want to do this, versus having a legitimate situation that you physically couldn't continue on with. That was a situation. Like, there's no way that anybody would have been able to continue on in that condition. So, you know, she was in rough shape, but that really kind of made things a little difficult. My biggest takeaway for her was just like, listen, there's a big difference between quitting and legitimately not being able to continue on. So that kind of threw a spoke in the wheels, I guess, or a wrench in the spokes, however you want to say it. So it's like 2:30 in the morning. It's freezing cold. It's pouring rain. You know, my best friend's getting carted off in an ambulance, and I'm by myself in the middle of a remote part of New Jersey I've never even been to. There's no stores. I'm at like mile 50. The next store is mile 64. I have no idea where I am. I mean, I know where I'm going, but being in the woods and being in the dark is one of my favorite things to do, like trail running at night in the mountains, on the trails, in the dark. But when you're in the dark, on the road, in remote areas where you're unfamiliar with, it's a completely different feeling. So at this point, like, I'm stressing out and I'm just trying to get to where I gotta go to kind of get myself together. And when I got to that Wawa, you know, I had a little bit of a low point. I'm a very open person. I don't try and portray myself as something that I'm not. I don't try and make it seem like everything is always great and I don't struggle. You know, I had a moment on there when I was on the camera and just kind of letting people know, like, hey, I'm having a rough time right now. I'm going through some stuff. I just had to kind of contain myself. I needed good calories in me. I had to just not let my emotions dictate my actions, but just kind of let them come out, feel what I was feeling, and say, all right, what am I going to do next? What do I have to keep doing to just stay on course? I knew I wasn't going to quit. There was never a thought of quitting. And, you know, my wife and everybody knew, like, you know, I would have had to be hit by a car and carted off myself before I was going to quit. Yeah, it was just like a tough moment. But once I got back out on the road, I had some good calories in, had my first coffee
Nice.
day or so. I felt really good and just kind of kept it moving.
Did you go on by yourself then? Did you finish the rest, the 150 miles by yourself?
I did. I went from that point all the way up to almost just under 100 miles before I saw my next buddy that actually ran with me. And it took a little longer to finish the entirety of the event because, you know, my wife had said, listen, I know you're not going to quit. I know you want to do this. This is important. And I don't want you to quit, but I would feel more comfortable with you trying to find a hotel the next day or two rather than just sleeping out in the middle of nowhere by yourself, which probably wouldn't be so safe, which I didn't disagree with. So that's why I wound up getting two hotel rooms along the way, just because it just seemed like the smarter thing to do. It wasn't a race, you know? So then when I got to the one hotel, in between that, a friend and her husband found me, tracked me down, got me some good food and pizza, which was appreciated, Tammy and her husband. And then the next morning after my first hotel stay, I was, I think it was at like mile 95 or 90, somewhere just right under 100. My buddy Anthony showed up and he parked his car at the hotel. He was actually gonna go the entire way with me to the end, but it had continued to pour and rain, and he didn't actually ask his wife if it would be okay to stay out
Hey.
that long. So he didn't even get her permission. But our friend Rob met us some miles down the road on Route 206, and it was near Bridgewater where he lives. So we got to a particular spot where, with I think Jason probably saw if you watched the stories, the second hotel stay. Because my friend who lived in that area, Rob, he basically said, listen, I just want you to know this is the very last hotel for a very, very, very long time. and it's been raining for 3 days. You're freezing cold. Nighttime now. I think the best thing would be for you to get some rest. Continue on in the morning, because my friend Anthony's like, listen, stay here the night, get some really good food, order in, get a good shower, get some good sleep. The weather's going to be so much better tomorrow. It's not raining. You start early in the morning. I'm going to go to church with my wife. And then when I'm done, I'm going to drive out and find you on the route, and we're going to play hopscotch. So what he would do was drive out like 5 miles ahead, run back to find me on the course. And then that last 2 miles or so, we would continue on, have the car there for both aid, support, and whatnot.
Nice. Yeah, always
And
nice,
also, he
man.
got his car closer to the finish, because when we were about 15 miles out, he continued on the entire way with me to the very end.
Wow.
And then, after that, my wife and I brought him back to his car. But I had my buddy Juan, which I'm sure you've seen him on there, Jason,
Yeah.
my brother from another mother. He came out there and did the same thing for, God, I think it was like 5 hours, 4 or 5 hours. He just stayed out there too, just hopscotch and just making sure I was okay, which was awesome.
Yeah,
And then
that's
the visiting
crazy.
director of the school came out and found me on the route as well.
Oh, wow, that's really cool. So how did you raise the money?
Yeah, it was just like a GoFundMe, and I had
Cool.
never done anything like this before. I really didn't know how to go about it. And it was funny, because in the beginning, when I kind of pitched it to my wife, she's like, this is like the dumbest idea. You don't know any, you're not popular, you're not a famous runner. Who's going to pay you to run? I don't think this is going to work. And then as it started to gain momentum, I said, because I told her, I said, listen, like, I have to believe I can do it. Like, no
Yeah.
matter what, like, I have to believe that I can make a difference, and I'm willing to put myself out there. And then once it started gaining some momentum, she was like, wow, I was wrong. This is cool.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I'm not trying to jump around here, but with donations, I'll say this for anybody who's watching. I had some friends who reached out and they're like, listen, this is all I can do, or I can't do anything. I'm like, I stressed on my stories, if this story resonates with you and you feel compelled to donate and you have the means, consider whatever you can do, that's fine. But only if you have the means. I didn't want anybody to spend $5 they didn't have to do just because they felt like, oh, I have to. And I told some of my friends that I know are not in great situations. I said, listen, just share the story. Just share it. Leave a
Yeah.
nice comment. That's all you got to do. Like, it's not about the dollar. And, I had crazy donations, and I had one friend of mine who donated $5. And when I saw that $5, it hit me so hard, because I said to myself, like, this person gets it. You can have 10 people donate $1,000 and raise $10,000, or you can have 100,000 people donate $1. People don't realize that $1, and even if you can't do it, share the story. It takes nothing just to kind of get the word out. Don't ever feel so stressed, like, I don't have $100 to give. You don't have to,
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, they'll give you $5. That almost means more than the people that can give more, because you know that they really want to support you and be there for you. And so they're showing it in any way they can. And like you said, just to share your story, I mean, that's all you're asking, and you're just trying to raise awareness for autism, and that's what you did, So, I
And
mean,
it
I
was
commend
great.
you on that. That's amazing, and
Thank you.
that's so awesome.
And it went to a great cause. The school itself, just for some background for some people, they give a free lunch for every student in the school,
Cool.
regardless of socioeconomic status. And it
Nice.
costs them about $50,000 a year to do that. And the reason they do it is because the teachers, the aides, nobody eats on their own. Everybody eats with the classes, with the students, because it enhances their social skills. Group interaction. So there's so many things there. It's part of their curriculum. And even their big dance that they just had, that stuff, it costs money. So that's why they do the different funding they do. I was so appreciative for every share, every kind word. It was pretty amazing.
May I ask how much you raised?
$7,400.
Oh my
Oof.
gosh.
Yeah, that's amazing, man.
That's
Yeah.
That's amazing.
insane. Good for you.
No, thank you.
I just want to say something definitely for your whole story, because I was following you as you went along, and I know you had the blackout times, like, gotta keep my phone dry and everything, and I was just trying to
Yeah.
send encouraging messages. But your resilience, man, it was amazing. It is amazing, and I
I
definitely
appreciate it.
appreciate you, man, for bringing us into your journey and allowing us to see how beautiful something can be if you just commit to it. And it's bigger than yourself. You didn't do it for you. You did it for your daughter. You did it for the organization
Yeah.
that aids your daughter and her, advancement. So thank you. I always want to say thank
I
you for that,
appreciate
because
it.
it was a beautiful thing to see, Thank you.
Thank
I told
you.
my soldiers about you too. It was crazy.
No, thank you so much. And going into this, I knew, I mean, listen, an ultra, whatever, like a long distance, you're going to be in pain, you know it's going to hurt. I actually had a few people tell me, especially when they saw my feet and they knew that I really jacked up my leg and I might have tore my muscle, which I did. Spoiler alert. But they were like, oh, you should just quit. You did enough. You got nothing to prove. And I said, no. I said, for me, it was, how dare you? Like, looking at myself outside in, even the thought of wanting to quit or stop when it got tough, it's like, listen, these kids don't have the option to throw the towel in. They have to work so hard just to learn the most basic of skills to fit into this world that isn't kind to them most of the time, isn't meant for them, or isn't built for them. They have such a hard time just to learn these basic things. And it's like, what kind of example would I be setting to say, you know what? You can't quit because you have to do these hard things to function in this world. But it got a little tough for me. I had some blisters, I lost a toenail, whatever, but I quit. No, like, I don't have that option because they have no quit in them. So I had no quit in me. And I said, I would literally have to die to not continue on. And I said, I don't care if it takes me a whole week, because if I can run, I'm going to run. If I can walk, I'm going to walk. And if I'm in such bad shape that I can only hobble from my couch to the fridge or to the toilet, well, if I could hobble in my house, I could hobble out here. So that was the mental thought that I had going into it. And through those hard.
It meant so much more to you. And, you kind of answered one of the questions I had, because I was looking at your stories and that, you compared autism to ultra running, and there, that's what you just did. Like you said, it's like you have these struggles. I mean, just to get past that. And unfortunately, like you said, like, they're not accepted in society, and we're raising awareness that these are people too, So, do your kids and your wife, do they ever run with you? No. So, yeah, well, my wife, she's not into running, which is completely cool. We garden together. That's our sport. Like, my daughter, she's not, it's hard to get her out the house to do things. She's, very much an artist, loves to sit in her room, draw, paint, sculpt. She's also in those teenage years, so those are very challenging and fun right now. But yeah, trying to get her out of the house to do stuff is a little bit of a hassle. She does like to hike, and with the weather being nicer now, I am trying to get her back out there. As long as she has a phone and battery on the phone to take pictures and video, she's good. But without that, the world comes crashing down. But my son, though, he's an outdoorsman like me. He loves being, he can lay out in the dirt all day and all night, regardless of the weather. And he's happy. And every time he sees me putting my gear on, he's like, want to go run with you? Want to run together? And I'm like, I do. And we will in good time. But we'll run in the backyard together because, he sees me doing it and he's like, oh, this looks like fun. He might be my trail buddy. Oh, there you go. That'll be fun. Do you have trails pretty close to your house?
I have Garrett Mountain and Rifle Camp Park, which is just like a mile away from me. It's not the biggest park, but it's a nice little place just to hit the trails when I need it, because I run so much in the morning before work that I don't often get the time to go to the trails. So those are the closest. Aside from that, South Mountain Reservation is a really nice park with a lot of mileage of trails, nice little waterfall and creeks there. And then there's Wai-Wuyanda National Forest, which is about 45 minutes away from me, which I
Cool.
freak.
Right on. I mean, I guess when people think of New Jersey, they don't really think of that.
No, all they think of Sopranos and, the Jersey Shore. It's funny, 99% of the people who live in Jersey, we don't go to the shore. We
Oh, really?
avoid it with all costs,
Is there a running community there? Do you have people that you run with? You did say you have a few friends that ran with you on your New Jersey journey, but like, are there clubs or anything like that, like a sense of community?
There's a lot of clubs and running groups here. Me particularly, I don't necessarily like, I've never joined like an actual running club. There's different groups and races that I frequented over the years. I've never been like a big running club person as far as like meetups and stuff like that. I will do races, which I really do enjoy. If I'm going to do races, I want to do long ones that are super challenging that I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish, because it just kind of makes it more fun and a real challenge. And I'm not knocking like 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons. There's nothing wrong with that. But for me, I often go out and do those, my own distances, and I enjoy it, but I don't necessarily have to sign up for an event to have fun, because most of the time I wind up by myself anyway. I mean, you kind of scatter off if people are by themselves, unless they go with friends to run. My close friends like Renee, Juan, our friend Tammy, and Anna, even our friend Maria. I mean, I'm spitting names out, but they'll know who they are. But we often get together and try and get together as frequently as we can, especially during the summer. Last year we had a lot of fun and we did a 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. at Wayweyanda State Forest, and it was just for fun. It's like, hey, let's go out there. We're just gonna run all night, hike, run, whatever, and just have a good time, see how many miles we can get. And that was a lot of fun. So what I enjoy the most is doing adventures on my own, going out for a set amount of hours or a certain park that I want to go and run at, or getting together with friends for an unknown distance or a set time. Those are the things that are most meaningful to me, is spending time with friends. And for me, if it becomes unfun, I don't want to do it. I do running because I enjoy it. I kind of made, not made fun, but made my own little, oh, I'm gonna start my own trend. Do things that make you happy every day.
I like
And it's
that.
like, listen, hard things are great. Hard things are challenging, and I enjoy doing hard things too. But I like to have a good time. I like to smile. I like to enjoy what I'm doing. Maybe one day I'll actually try and have a structured plan or something. But I really never have. I just kind of go out. I wing it. I do my own thing. I have fun while I'm doing it, and I kind of know what I have to do to keep myself ready for the next race or the next thing. But I don't put too much pressure on myself. And I can't count how many people I've seen, cut short working in the ICU. If it's one thing that it's made me feel is so much appreciation and gratitude for every day that I have, because you don't know when your last day is. And I've seen it come way sooner than people were expecting. And I've never seen anybody, or witness somebody lose their life or take their last breath, whether they knew it was coming or not, and ever say, God, I wish I could work another day, or I wish I could make more money, or why did I spend that money? All they want is time with their loved ones, with their friends, and time to do one more thing. I'm not going to be angry. Like, even on my bad days, they're good days. It's just a lot of appreciation, I guess. But yeah, I don't put too much pressure on myself, and I did for a while at some point where I was like, oh, I'm not getting as many miles as this guy, or oh man, I'm slacking, or I'm taking too many days off, and I am trying to get back on a little running streak. Yeah, I'm just having fun with it and trying not to stress it out, I guess.
That's great.
So I guess it's safe to say you have nothing really planned for the remainder of the year for like races or
No,
any
that's not
other
true.
big events. Oh, you
That's
do?
not true.
Well, come
No, that's
on.
true.
Give
Okay,
us the
that's not
tea, man.
Well, I gotta ask my wife if it's okay. I didn't ask her yet. But no, well, June 7th, my friend Renee and I and Anthony, we're gonna try and get together at Asbury Park to run the boardwalk, maybe do a little boardwalk ultra before it gets too hot. We do plan on doing another overnight at Wayweyanda. And in October, I'm actually doing the Tulsa. I always get it confused. Tesla's the car. It's Tulsa Hertz 100-mile endurance run in the Long Island Pine Barrens. So I'll
Sweet.
be doing that in
Nice.
October, and I think Jason, you already know, but I'm signed up for January of 2026. I'm going to be doing the Just Survive 125 in Florida. So it's in 125 miles. It's from Hobe Sound Beach all the way to Lake Okeechobee on the Ocean to Lake Trail. So it's like 62.5 miles out and then back on the same trail.
Oh
You
my
have
God.
48 hours to finish, and you have four or 5 gallon buckets where you can put your gear in. It's self-supported, so you're not allowed to get any outside aid. And you pass every bucket twice, with the exception of the one at the turnaround. And it goes through wetlands, so you could be anywhere from ankle deep to waist deep, depending on the water fall for that time period. So.
That sounds
Okay.
diabolical.
You
If
were
that's the
fun with
choice, that's
that.
crazy. You said from ankle or waist, which one
Yeah, I
do
was
you
like,
want? That's
I don't
crazy.
know if that's my style.
No, it's okay. The gators hang out in like canals. They're not on the trails too much,
I guess. I'll support you from afar for sure.
Ditto.
Yeah.
I have to put my Garmin in reach, so if you ever see it like stop, and then you just see it drifting out into the water or something. You're like, all right, something bad
That's
happened.
not
Yeah,
him.
I'm like, no, they got my boy. They got my boy. No.
Oh my, yeah. We'll track you. Okay.
So while you're running, I know Michelle mentioned she was boasting about your playlist. I guess the 80s and 90s hits and everything. Come on, give us the tea, man. What songs are you gonna be playing first when you start that 125-mile race?
But
It's a
you're gonna
long
be
time.
really, you might be disappointed here. So 90% of the time when I'm running, I'm not listening to music.
All right. Good for you.
That's
So
crazy.
you know what? So this is kind of funny and it's kind of weird, but even when I'm running, I'm either listening to a podcast, an audiobook. I do listen to music at times. Sometimes I do. And if I do, it's usually like some country. I love Morgan Wallen. I know you're a big fan too.
As you
Yes.
should, as you
Yes,
should.
he is.
I don't listen to music a lot when I'm running. Sometimes because it gets me a little too hyped, and then I'm like, wait a second, like I need to slow it down. But I also like hearing the conversation, especially on podcasts. I love 307 podcasts. I love Runners Like Us podcasts. I love the Sean Ryan show. But
Channel Ranch really good.
I even typically don't listen to like running podcasts when I'm running because I almost feel like it's too much running. I kind of like listening to something that kind of takes my mind away. It's like I know I'm out here running, I'm doing my thing, but I'm listening to this other story or something. In fact, I've been listening to your podcast while I'm running around doing stuff in my house,
Nice.
driving to work and coming home, or on my breaks. Like I did listen to running podcasts when I would run at some point in the beginning, but it was just a little too much. So I like to break it up with other things. But if I am listening to music like 80s and 90s and stuff like that, I'm a big Stevie B fan.
Okay, okay.
I love my Guns N' Roses.
Heck yeah.
Decent.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, just like a nice mix there. I'm a big dance hall guy too. Like I'm gonna take it back a little bit, but like Yellow Man, Shabba Ranks. Like I like
Oh,
the dance
Sabarain, son,
hall.
who
Yeah.
that is,
But yeah, like I like a nice mix there.
Nice.
Okay,
Yeah.
okay.
Okay. I listen to running podcasts, but then like when I'm training for a marathon, I was listening to a podcast. It's called Discovering Dad. You have to listen to it.
Okay.
It
Okay.
is the cutest story. And it's like six or seven episodes. Loved it. Discovering Dad.
Okay, so I'm gonna have to look that one up.
It's a good one.
Podcasts are fun. It's almost like sometimes when you listen to podcasts, I don't know if you ever watched the Wendy Williams show, but she has that thing where she'd say they become a friend in her head. Even with you guys, it's like when you listen to your podcast, it's like you feel like you're not in the conversation because you're obviously not sharing the dialogue, but you feel like, oh yeah, it's like having a convo with my friends, Super
Thanks.
nice. And I gotta thank Jason here because we've been going back in a while for a hot minute, and I mean some of the most encouraging voice memos and messages. Like I just love it. I feel like I've known this dude for forever, and
Same.
I have no
Same,
doubt if
same.
we ever met in person and put on the running shoes, it'd be like two buddies just meeting up like old
Yeah.
times. I hope I
Could be a
can meet you
party.
up
Of
there.
course, we got to set it up, man. It's a party. It's a
Yeah.
party.
You know what?
Always.
Maybe in a few years, Coca Dona 250. Hey, come on.
No. You know how far
Yeah.
that
You
is?
guys are gonna run and
Nothing.
meet each other
Nothing to.
halfway.
No, you mean us?
Well, there's
Oh,
the
right. We'll meet in the
It'll
middle.
be a good time. Definitely meeting up with you, getting some miles. We'll be going to camp and then, probably go to a range, trying to establish something. But I think
Oh,
we'll
yeah.
have a good time. Actually, I had one more question for you. So if you could share one thing for new runners or, existing regular runners, what would it be?
That's really hard to narrow it down to one thing. I think it's been said before, but comparison is the killer of all joy. It's your run, embrace it, enjoy it, and never compare yourself to other people. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being inspired. There's nothing wrong with looking at someone to say, oh, I aspire to be that good, or I want to get to that point. But never compare yourself to the point that it makes you feel like you're less, because that's not right, man.
I think that's
It's
amazing. That's a good point.
very solid. I like
Yeah.
that.
I mean, it's kind of like they say, worry about yourself.
And like just like a tidbit on inspiration too, I'm not trying to knock anybody who's a professional, so this might come out wrong, but like I find professional athletes inspirational. I'm personally not like blown away and inspired, and I'm not taken away from the things that they do. Like some of these runners, football players, like they do amazing things and they've trained so hard for so long. It's almost a job to a sense, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Like if I get paid to run, especially with my pace, hey, throw all the money you want at me. But at the end of the day, it's okay. Like they're doing amazing things, and I could never, never do what they do. What really hypes me up and inspires me and just blows me away are the people in the crowd. Like you look at Cocodona 250 and these races. You look in the crowd. I like looking for the people that nobody notices, the ones that you wouldn't even pick up out of a lineup and think that they were athletic, let alone going to do a 250-mile race or 24-hour. And when I did my first 12-hour race, I saw people that were so overweight, they physically couldn't run, but they walked and hiked for 12 hours, as many miles as they could. You know, when you see people who finish a 100-miler in 16 hours, yeah, that's amazing. But when you see someone who's out there for 48 hours slugging it just nonstop and they're struggling, again, you would never picture them or think they were athletic. But those are the people who just get me so excited because I don't know, I think it's amazing. You know, they really.
And it's crazy that you mentioned that because I'm assuming y'all know who like Andrew Glaze is, firefighter who runs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he just happened to talk about it. The most celebrated runners is the ones that's dead last. Everybody, of course, everybody's there. They were just cheering them on, and then you can see the difference where you like second place, third place, but like the dead last, everybody's out there, and it's so electric and it's so celebrated.
And I'm not knocking those first place, second place, and whatnot, because some of these first place runners, like the guy who just smashed Cocodona, like, dude, that's insane. Like, he has so much energy at the end. Like, he was fast. Like, he
No, you're
really.
scooting.
And that's impressive. But yeah, like when you see someone out there in the entire time, and it's like I've seen professionals do it, and I'm not knocking them. I'm not here to talk bad about anyone. Just an observation. You know, you see some professionals that it's like, oh, I'm not going to get first. I'm not going to make the podium. I'm not having my race that I wanted. I'm done. I'm just going to quit. And that's fine. But then you have people who don't have the training. They're not training all the time. They're not that their whole life is not revolving around training for a race. They're working normal jobs, trying to make ends meet, taking care of their family, and they're out there and they just don't stop. They have that the lion's heart, heart of gold that just will not stop. And I just think that that's amazing, you know.
It's a beautiful thing to see.
Currently, you're doing a run streak right now.
Yeah, it's not like a big streak. I'm on like day 18. The longest I had
Really?
done before, I think it was like a year and a half ago. Or maybe longer. It was like 269 days.
Nice. Nice.
My friend Anthony, he's on a much longer streak, which is impressive. But
No, 18 is impressive too.
well,
That's 18 wins.
we're excited to see how far you go, how long your streak will go. We're excited to see what's next for you too. We really enjoy talking to you and appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule too. This is where, you know, Jason and I, this is important for us because this is where the runners like us, like we all are working and we have to get up at 4 in the morning, get our run in, and because that's what makes us happy. We want to do what makes us happy. And so we really appreciate you being here.
I appreciate you taking the time and the interest because I'm not
Yeah.
that interesting.
Oh, that's not true. Actually,
Well.
speaking of not interesting, just kidding. Speaking of interesting,
It's
tell everybody where they can find you on the gram.
Topher, Topher underscore from underscore Jersey.
Perfect. Jason, where can they find you, sir?
It'll be go for your 30, GOFORYOUR30. It's been a long day. I do
Yeah.
apologize. You'll find me somewhere. I'm out
Yeah.
there. Thank
All right. And you can find me at MQUIT. That is on the Instagram. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us today. We look forward to meeting up next time.
Yeah.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
you.
And I'm
Thank you,
sorry about the
Chris.
tape.